It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson. By the way, did you hear that there might be an entire album worth of unreleased Audioslave music that gets released?
Oh, really?
I guess Chris Cornell had recorded a bunch of it, and he died right before it was able to go out. Or he recorded it, and then the band had broken up, but now they're thinking about releasing it. Soundgarden's doing the same thing as well. I guess with both bands, had so much leftover material that they never got to, and both bands are discussing potentially releasing it. So
cool.
That could be interesting. Greatest voice in rock?
I know you have said
Eddie
that.
Vedder.
Eddie Vedder's very good. Chris Cornell is perfect.
I would have Steve Perry one.
Oh, Steve Perry's a great
Steve
one.
Perry.
And that's Chris Cornell's, he's in my top three for sure.
Yeah. I would put Maynard from Tool, actually.
Oh, Maynard from Tool?
Yep.
Voice?
Oh, my God. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he's a top fiver at least. But those are good picks. So Steve Perry is...
Freddie Mercury, I think, has to be in my top three. So
Steve Perry's... Freddie Mercury's a good singer, but for some reason, I just don't like his voice as much. Like, Steve Perry's just got a perfect... Like, nobody sounds like him. Nobody's even tried to sound like him.
Except the Filipino guy who's replacing him on this last tour. Pretty good. He's pretty close.
I guess technically, you're right. There are people who tried to sound like him and got good gigs from it, too, as a matter of fact.
Bon Scott 4.
Bon Scott.
Great voice.
I mean, a very distinct and distinct. Funny voice. Oh, my balls are always bouncing as they dunk me to and fro. Like, some of his songs are just so ridiculous.
Yeah,
I do love Bon Scott, though.
He just took himself not seriously at all, and you can tell.
He did. All right,
come on, guys. You guys are forgetting Freddie Mercury.
We just said Freddie Mercury.
Oh, wow.
Jackson,
okay.
Come on.
Sorry, I was trying to fix the phones. I was not there for a second.
That's all right. We get it, Jackson. All right, let's get to this Doc Rivers audio, because Doc Rivers, as you know, was unceremoniously let go from being the head coach of your Milwaukee Bucks, where Giannis Antetokounmpo, of course, played and didn't play a lot while he was there. And there were rumors that came out. Which player was it? I keep forgetting his name. Who played?
Miles Turner.
Miles Turner came out and did a podcast and was talking about how their time under Doc Rivers was somewhat loose in the fact that Doc Rivers didn't punish anybody. Matter of fact, he kind of let them run things. And whenever there was an out-of-town game where they all had to be on a plane at a certain time, there was, just show up when you want to. And Giannis...
That's a money grab for Doc. Come on.
Doesn't it seem like that?
Oh, of course. Of course, that's all it was.
Yep. And it was like, you know what, guys? I'm not going to make any enemies. You don't tattle on me. I won't tattle on you.
That's what it was. Guaranteed.
And you know what? The record in Milwaukee kind of was proof of that. They were a team that underachieved year after year. It didn't seem like there was any kind of chemistry. It seemed like you heard, like, in the locker room, there was a little bit of strife. And then Giannis, unfortunately, got the brunt of a lot of the blame as far as the culture was concerned, because he, according to Miles Turner, was the last guy on the plane. But Doc Rivers does know Giannis, does know what he's been going through, and knows the Celtics. So I take some stock into what he's saying here when he's talking to Bill Simmons. And here's Doc Rivers on this whole potential Giannis to the Celtics trade.
Miami's the one I can't figure out, unless they have other moves coming that I don't know, because it's like, all right, it's him and Bam, but you just traded everybody else. Where are you going?
And you would have traded your closer, because Tyler Hero's a closer.
Right.
You know, say what you want about him, but he's a straight up
closer. So why would I want to go laterally? Yeah. I would just rather stay in Milwaukee at that point.
My guess is that's where he's trusting their front office that they have the ability to add more pieces. You know, those are the talks we're not in, you know.
After the last two rounds of basketball we watched, like, you need like 7-8 dudes.
You need a lot of guys.
It can't just be you and Bam Adebayo, and it can't be you and Jason Tatum.
Yeah. Well, the Celtics still have a lot of players.
No, I know. But
so
I'm just...
there's a much safer thing for him. The only thing from the Celtics' point of view is you are shortening your window, you know, because Giannis is older and Brown is younger.
Giannis is older with more miles on him, too.
But you also maybe, after that window, giving yourself a chance to have another window with Jason Tatum.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it depends on how the front offices look at it.
What would you do if you were Boston?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
That's it.
That's a tough one. That's called a cliffhanger, Doc.
You're out of the game. But that's like a Tom Brady answer. What the hell?
You know what I found interesting about that piece was when he says, you know, if you trade away Tyler Hero to the Bucks, then there's your closer. So he essentially is saying that Giannis isn't a closer. Like, if you're trading away your closer.
Decent point. Yeah.
And I just, do we think Jason Tatum is a closer?
I've seen him close before. Yeah, I have. And you know what? I will. I will. I will give him like way more, leaning way more towards closer than not closer, but he's not a Jalen Brunson. I see what you're saying. There's different levels of closer. He's not a guy that is, he's not like LeBron back in the day. He's definitely not someone like that, but I've seen him close enough that I'm leaning way more towards closer than not closer.
Okay. I just thought that was interesting that he's basically saying that Giannis isn't a closer, and I'm not so sure Jason Tatum is. And so if you got two guys that aren't closers, Have you gotten much better? That's, we need a closer on this team.
You know, by the way, quick aside from Doc, I had never heard. I just was Googling him, and this article came up. You know how he's blown 3-1 series leads?
Yeah, Doc,
which is historic. He said once on the record, "I don't get enough credit for winning the three wins in those series.
Oh,
I get credit for losing. I always say, what if we had lost in six? No one cares.
Brutal.
I hope he's brutal. I hope he's like busting balls there. And
no, he's no, he's serious. And he goes on to like in a deep dive of why you should give him credit for winning the three.
You got we get mad at the players for talking about process, and this is the most exciting season ever when you get bounced. Dude, the coaches are just as bad. The Cleveland coach.
Yeah.
You know, we won. Oh, you know, horrible. We won analytically. We won this series. Like, get out of here with that.
Kenny Atkinson.
Oh, yeah.
The coaches are almost just as bad as the players.
There was one thing, though, in that clip that I hadn't thought of, and it's a decent point by Doc Rivers. And actually, he may not have even expanded on it, but it made me think of this. So if you do end up getting – if Giannis does go to Miami and it's him and Bam Adebayo, sure, right now it seems like they ain't got much around them. Like, I don't know how much of a team you can have when you're just those two guys. But Miami's a place where people will take less money to play, especially some older veterans, in order to chase a ring. And if they're looking at those two pieces, you might be able to get a couple of quality enough guys
Jalen Brunson plan?
Yeah, to take a little bit of a discount to go play down in Miami, where you get more money because of the state taxes, and with two guys that are definitely pretty good building blocks towards winning a championship. Together, they can't do it alone. But that is one of the few places. That place, L.A. and New York, might be some of the only places I can think of where I could see players going, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's because it's here, and it's because it's for that coach, and with those two pieces, I'll take a little bit less to go win something.
That's a good point. However, I think the bigger issue for this trade is the Bucks want something better than what Miami's offering them. Yeah. Forget about Giannis and the fit with Bam. You're giving me what? I'm going to rebuild with Tyler Hero?
It doesn't make sense.
It's not good enough.
I mean, Milwaukee thinks that this trade for – they trade Giannis, that whatever they get back in return is going to set them up for the next 10 years.
Right. Yeah.
That's good.
That's how they think.
Well, there's Chris Haynes, by the way. Did you see his report?
No.
He is saying this could drag out further than the draft.
Oh, God,
which
please
is
no.
Shocking because, I think Milwaukee wants some picks in this draft. That's part of the rebuild.
Right.
However, this could go to free agency, he says, especially if it's dealing with Boston. So we could be in for another month of this.
And by the way, when we had the guy from Milwaukee on with us a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, man, Jaylen Brown's not going to be enough, and then we're hearing what Miami's offering – they shot themselves in the foot, or they didn't, but Giannis pretty much screwed them.
There you go.
Because everyone knows he's not going to stay. There's no way he wants to stay there. And when you do that, other teams notice. And they're like, you're getting rid of him anyway. Mm-hmm. So here's what you're going to take. As long as we're better than that other team over here, that's all that matters. But you can't sit here and try to play tough and hardball with us because you're getting rid of him no matter what.
Do we think it's more likely that the Celtics get Giannis or do we think it's more likely that stays the way it is? Or is it more likely that the Celtics pivot and get like pieces from
that would be
like
Sengun
from the Rockets or
I see that happening. I see C, what you said there. I think they're not going to get
when you
Giannis.
Say pieces, you mean win now pieces or rebuild pieces?
Yeah, like a center. And another wing.
I don't like that at all. I think if you don't get Giannis, I'm more inclined to just run it back with one additional big man than to trade Jalen for like three bit parts that are not as good as him.
I thought that's what you were saying, Ted.
Oh, okay.
Was that you could see them running it back, but just getting like, let's find this big man that's not really horribly expensive, but maybe can turn into something if he's here. I think that that's most likely what's going to happen. I don't think there's going to be any major change. If they did, holy crap. And as I said, if they can do it and keep the Jays together, my God, you know, executive
now,
of the year.
Now, it is supposed to be a good draft. I mean, it is sort of tempting to say, what if the Clippers would give us the fifth pick? Is there one of these point guards that we think is going to be a star and quickly,
Man.
That would extend the Tatum, you know.
Why have I read somewhere where it's like the first four are shoe-ins and where you get to the fifth, it gets a little murky.
Drops.
So it's almost they're at that line where you go, I don't know if it's the fifth is as valuable as
that's true, but we've heard that before, and that's why Danny Ainge pulled off a coup by trading out of the first pick, you know, in the Tatum Brown years. So maybe they love somebody. That's sort of tempting. I could see that. But then again, it's not a win now move at all, right? You're taking a 2-year break.
You gotta admit, The easiest thing for Brad is just to run it back. I mean, if you just want to just easy, you know.
It's easy.
Well, not if Brown and Tatum don't get along.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, and that's I think a lot of
I
us.
Think we're blowing that out of proportion. Maybe. I think we're blowing that out of proportion.
Else is for sale, Rich.
Well, yep. I mean, all I know is that, you know, when the season starts, there's a lot of time between now, him saying those comments, and when they actually have to get on the court together. And there's a lot of stuff to tweet about your neighbor's rice smelling fantastic or whatever crap he's been putting out there, which I still don't understand what that means. All right, Christian Gonzalez, did we learn something about whether or not his future looks bright here, filled with cash, or whether or not maybe, just maybe, he could be on the trading block? We will get to that right after this. 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls as well.